Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 5. If you read with us this past week, and let me encourage you once more in that, I may, in fact, every Sunday of this year, encourage you in your Bible reading and reading with us. Last Sunday, we read from Romans chapter 3 and chapter 4. We read this in verse 10 of chapter 3. There's no one righteous. No, not even one. And then in verse 23, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Despite that, the truth, the reality of all humanity's sin and unrighteousness, very personally, you and me, not one of us righteous, you and me, all of us guilty of sin, all of us having fallen short of God's glorious standard. Despite that, we read this in Romans 3 and verse 24, yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. On Monday, we read Genesis 8 through 11. We finished the story of Noah. We read a long list of nations and people groups. And we read of the Tower of Babel. Tuesday, Joshua 11 through 15, Israel continues to take possession of the promised land. Wednesday, we read Psalm 6 through 8. Thursday, we read Job 5 and 6. We'll get to that in just a minute. Friday, we read from Isaiah 12 through 17. Frightening, unpleasant to consider. For that reason, in our day, so often ignored from the preacher's pulpit, so often rejected by the believer as an Old Testament attribute, outdated and obsolete then for us New Testament Christians. On Friday, we read of God's wrath. We read this, wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every man's heart will melt. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make man scarcer than pure gold. Therefore, I'll make the heavens tremble and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Babylon experienced that. Assyria, Moab, Damascus, Cush did, the Philistines, even Israel and Judah when they rebelled against God. They all did. And so will the world of our day. Can I remind you, there will be the sound of a trumpet. Oh, aren't you glad for the coming sound of a trumpet? The believers caught up in the air to meet Jesus there. Jesus, the one who saves us from God's wrath. There will be that, but then there will be poured out on this earth his wrath, his anger. And because of it, there will be great distress unequaled from the beginning of the world until now and never to be equaled again. So says the Lord in Matthew 24. Yesterday, we read Matthew 5 through 7, the greatest sermon you will ever read. the greatest sermon ever. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Teaching and preaching with authority like the people had never heard before. One says this: we gain power and maturity in our spiritual life as the Spirit of God illuminates the Word of God on a daily basis. The concluding challenge and encouragement then: make God's Word a daily priority in your life. As you did that this last week, however you did it, you read with us through the yearly plan that we picked out. You read, maybe you listened to a plan you picked out. However you did it, I pray that you did do it. And that as you did, you experienced power and spiritual maturity. The book of Job this morning, we know Job's story. Job is described this way in Scripture. He was blameless and upright. He feared God, and he turned away from all evil. One translation says it this way: he was careful not to do anything wrong. And Job was tremendously blessed. We know the story, Job chapter 1 and verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You've blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands. But on the man himself, do not lay a finger." Job chapter 2. And verse 1, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came with them. Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. Stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Before Satan is done, Job's oxen, his camel, his donkeys will be carried off by an invading people. His sheep struck by the fire of God that falls from the sky. His servants will be dead. His sons and daughters as well. And Job himself, he will be afflicted with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Besides the description of him, when we actually encounter Job, the first time we actually see him in Scripture, this is what we read, Job chapter 2 and verse 8. "Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes." From there, it's dialogue between Job and mostly his three friends, though there is a fourth as well, until finally, at the end of the book, spoiler alert, God shows up. With all due respect to Job and his friends, they would have been much better off, I think, if they would have stopped talking way earlier in the book so that God could talk. Listen, my brother, my sister, with all due respect, you might be doing too much talking. You might just need to quiet yourself so the Lord can finally get in a word to speak into your life. Listen, my brother, my sister, you might be listening too much to the noise out there. You might need to quiet yourself and all of that sooner rather than later, so that sooner rather than later, God can have opportunity to show up and to speak into your life that you need to hear from him. God shows up. God begins to speak. God sets things right, makes things right. It's what he does. In the end, Job's story concludes, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. What we discover as we read the book, it's not just the problem of suffering, though it is certainly that in part, it's really the question of why. Why the suffering? Job suffers, but really Job's struggle is not figuring out, not understanding why. Suffering is suffering. Suffering hurts no matter what, but there's something within us that wants to know why, isn't there? Suffering seems to be less, at least the internal part of it, when it makes sense. When we have an answer to the why of it. Job is miserable, there's no doubt about that. But it's almost that his real misery, in fact, isn't because of some outside pain, but rather an inside anguish. Don't you hear it? Is even, you've read a number of chapters now. I did everything right. I'm blameless. I fear God. I turn away from all evil. Why has this happened to me then? The problem with Job's friends, they're going to presume to know the answer. Be careful of those who always seem to presume to always know the answer. They're going to interpret suffering strictly, exclusively in the context of sin. They're going to presume that all of Job's misery is a result of him having done wrong. He's guilty of something therein his suffering. Now then, their advice, rather than sitting around in ashes, Job, complaining because of all the misery that's befallen you, repent. Confess the sin, Job. Get up. Make right whatever you did wrong. If you do that, the suffering will stop. The problem is Job can't do that because there is no sin to repent of. No sin that has caused his suffering. This morning, truth be told, I have no answer for you as to the why of trouble and suffering. The why of the trouble you're in, the suffering you're experiencing. I have only a response to it. It is, though, what I, in fact, would believe to be the very best response to it. For us this morning, Job chapter 5, we read this in verse 7. Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. This is true, isn't it? One of Job's friends says this. One of the ones convinced that Job suffers because Job has sinned. It's maybe not the immediate context in which we most often or at least first would consider or define trouble, but it is true for us. There is the trouble of sin. Our sin. Our sin nature. Again, probably not the first thing we think of when we think of trouble. And yet, isn't it in fact the most devastating, the most troublesome kind of trouble for us? We read this a moment ago. There's no one righteous, not even one. We read this a moment ago. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Sin brings judgment. Sin brings condemnation. Sin brings death. Because of sin, the sin is in fact destined for an eternity in hell. And remember, there's no one righteous. All have sinned. Do you understand? Do you see the trouble? You've sinned. I've sinned. You've fallen short. I have as well. For you, for me, the wages, the result of that judgment, condemnation, death, hell, for you, for me, we are in trouble, aren't we? But then this, for our sin-troubled life and story. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Verse 15, God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many. Judgment followed the one sin of Adam and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. Through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners. So also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace reigns through righteousness to bring eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you understand? Do you see what God does for the sinner in deep, deep trouble? He offers forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, righteousness, even in fact, eternal life. In Psalm 103, praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord works righteousness and justice. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgression from us. This is what God can do. This is what God does for the one in trouble. Deep and desperate trouble because of their sin. No one righteous, it's everyone. This is what God does for you. This is what God does for me, because we're in trouble, because we've sinned, and because we're sinners. Back to Job. Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. Verse 8. So if I were you, I would call out to God. Listen, if you're in trouble because of sin, and all of us are, unless we've already called out to him, you have to hear me this morning. Regardless you being here, good for you to be here. Regardless of you being here, regardless of your good works and the evaluation of your life, surely the good outweighs the bad. I must be okay in God's eyes. Regardless your giving, regardless your Bible reading, regardless your commitment to the church, to doing good and being good, regardless if you're here this morning, you've not turned to Jesus. You're still a sinner then, living under the curse of Adam's sin and the consequence of it, judgment and condemnation, death and eternal hell. If you've not known Jesus, if you've not turned to him and received them from him, his forgiveness, reconciliation, justification, righteousness, and eternal life. Listen, if I were you, I would call out to God so that all that he offers because of Jesus and what Jesus did and accomplished at Calvary, so that all of it can be yours. You'll be in trouble no more then. Don't you know that to be true, my brother, my sister? Can I remind you, while you were yet his enemy, when you had nothing to offer, sin stricken and living in rebellion against God, he loved you, he sent his son to die for you, and you called out to him. Listen. And you sit here this morning in trouble no more, because he's washed you. He's cleansed you. As far as the east from the west, so far as he removed your sin from you. In scripture, we read this in 2 Corinthians, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Listen, the old is gone. The new has come. In Colossians 2, you were dead in sins, and your sinful desires were not yet cut away. Then he gave you a share in the very life of Christ. He forgave all your sins and blotted out the charges proved against you, the list of his commandments which you had not obeyed. He took this list of sins and destroyed it. All the evidence against you. You were guilty. Yes, you had done that. Yes, you had committed that sin. You were guilty, guilty, guilty as charged. All the evidence there to prove your guilt and to seal your eternal damnation. Listen, he took that evidence and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. Listen, in this way, God took away Satan's power to accuse you of sin. And God openly displayed to the whole world Christ's triumph at the cross, where your sins were all taken away. In Romans 8, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Listen, if you sense the devil's accusation against you, who you used to be, what you used to do, if you're struggling to take hold of, to live in your new identity in Christ, you sense yourself still bound by the old. Listen. If I were you, I would call out to God, who would remind you that when the devil comes against you, you have only to ask for the evidence for him to prove what he says, and to then discover the evidence has been destroyed. He has none. He's been rendered powerless. his accusations against you. In Hebrews chapter 2, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. In 2 Peter 1, God's divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. If you're struggling still with sin, still that besetting sin in your life, you more often than not giving in to the temptation rather than triumphing over it. The devil comes to steal and kill and destroy. And if, as you consider the pattern of your life, that's exactly what you see in your life, you've let him do that in you. No more than a conqueror living, not for you. No victory, not for you. Not over the sin, not over the struggle, not over the compromise, not over the fear, not over the worry, not over the anxiety, not over the depression, not over the despair, not over any of his attacks against you. The devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion. And if you recognize this morning, he devours you as he does. Listen. If I were you, I would call out to God so that he can do in you what only he can do in you. And victory can then be yours over temptation, over sin, over any of the devil's accusation against you and scheming against you. If I were you, listen, my brother, my sister, I stand before you as a friend today, and I encourage you in your trouble that would be sin and the devil's attack by way of temptation and sin against you, your old self wanting to rise up again within you, bound by who you used to be and what you used to do. Listen to your friend this morning. If I were you, I would call out to God so that the life of an overcomer can be yours in any and every circumstance. Man is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upward. In John 16 and verse 33, Jesus says this, in this world, you will have trouble. Apart from the sin trouble, wow, the host of all other troubles that you and I would face. Listen, no matter any of it, though I have no answer for you as to the why of it, I do have for you the perfect response to it. If I were you, I would call out to God. Job chapter 5 and verse 9. He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed. Miracles that cannot be counted. Do you find yourself in the midst of an impossibility? Full disclosure. That's your response. That situation, that problem, that family member, that health crisis, that financial indebtedness. Let's just be honest this morning. It's how you respond. That's impossible. Red Sea before you, Pharaoh's army behind you, Jericho walls in your way. Come on now. A giant in front of you who threatens to give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Listen, if I were you, I would call out to God. He and he alone. My brother, my sister, why are you calling on everybody else? Why are you calling on friend and neighbor? Why are you calling on Google and the internet? Why are you calling on the self-help book, even at the Christian bookstore? Why? He's the one who does wonders that cannot be fathomed. He's the one that does miracles that can't be counted. If I were you, I would call out to him. Verse 11, the lowly he sets on high, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He saves the needy from the sword, from the clutches of the powerful, so the poor have hope, and injustice shuts its mouth. Blessed is the man whom God corrects, so don't despise the discipline of the Almighty. Listen, he wounds, but he also binds up. He injures, but his hands also heal. Need healing this morning? Is there sickness? Is there pain? Is there no remedy, no relief from either? Listen, if I were you, I would call out to God. In Luke 17, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As you're going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Every single one of them cleansed of their leprosy. In Luke 18, Jesus approached Jericho. A blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, it's Jesus. Jesus is passing by. He called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, he said, I want to see. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he did. And he followed Jesus, praising God. All the people saw it and they praised God as well. Need healing this morning? Listen, don't let anything silence your call to him. Just truth be told, listen very carefully this morning. Some of you have let the doctor silence your call to the one who would be your healer today. Some of you have let circumstances, well, mom had this and brother had this, and sister had this, so I guess I'm going to have it. It's my lot in life, my cross to bear. And I say to you this morning, nonsense. You've let someone silence your call to the one who would be your healer today. When others rebuke you, you go the way of blind Bartimaeus and you call out all the louder because he is the God who heals us. If you're sick this morning, listen, hear me carefully this morning. You understand what I'm saying. You never mind the doctor's appointment coming on Tuesday and the answer you hope to find there. You call out to Jesus today. And I'm telling you, as your healer, you could know from him in this moment as you sit where you sit, the healing, the relief, the remedy from whatever the pain, whatever the sickness. I pray it for you. Jesus, be the healer today. Jesus, be the healer in this moment. Don't you know that he can? Only he can. Listen, if I were you, never mind the place and the service. If I were you and there's sickness or pain in your body, if I were you, I would call out to Jesus right now. Let him touch you. Let him heal you. Let him set you free. Whatever the sickness, whatever the pain, whatever the doctor has said, let him set you free this morning. Verse 19, from six calamities he will rescue you. In seven, no harm will befall you. In famine, he will ransom you from death. And in battle, from the stroke of the sword. You will be protected from the lash of the tongue and need not fear when destruction comes. You will laugh at destruction and famine and need not fear the beasts of the earth. You will know that your tent is secure. You will take stock of your property and find nothing missing. You will come to the grave in full vigor like sheaves gathered in season. Psalm 68. God sets the lonely in families. If you're lonely this morning, if I were you, I would call out to him. In Psalm 30, O Lord, my God, I've called to you for help and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. If you find yourself weeping, if you find yourself needing help, if I were you, I would call out to God. If there's something that stirs within your heart, a longing for his favor to be upon you, if I were you, I would call out to him. Psalm 18, I call to the Lord who's worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around. The snares of death confronted. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him, before his ears. Verse 9, he parted the heavens then and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemies. Great bolts of lightning and routed them. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. In Psalm 118, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He's my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. If you're under attack, if you feel the clouds of death and destruction overwhelming and entangling you, if you're in distress, if I were you, I would call out to the Lord. If I were you, I would not put my trust in any other thing. I would call out to him. In Psalm 86, you are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. In the day of my trouble, I will call. He answers you with his forgiveness. He answers you with his abounding love. If I were you, I would call out to him. In Psalm 138, when I called, you answered, and you made me strong and brave. In Lamentations 3, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. If you're sensing the need, whatever you're facing, there's a transition happening in your life. There's an obstacle. There's something in your way. There's something that you're going through, and you're sensing the thing that you need above all other things, a boldness, a confidence, a courage to not be afraid, but to be strong in the Lord, to be strong, to stand strong in your faith, whatever you're going through, whatever storm you're having to navigate through. Listen, if I were you, I would call out then to him. In Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Come on, you don't need me to ask you. You know that you do. You need the Lord near. You want the Lord to be near. Listen, what are we doing here if the Lord would not be near to us in this place and bless us with the abundance of the goodness that is his presence? Listen, you want to talk trouble? You're in real trouble. If you walk out those doors and leave him here, you don't want to leave him here. You want him near you wherever you go out there. You know that. You want him near. So, if I were you, I would call out to him. In Isaiah 58, then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help. And he will say, here am I. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, your light will rise in the darkness. Your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. In Jeremiah 33, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Things that you don't know, things that you can't find out, one translation says. If you don't know what to do, if there's a decision to be made and you don't know which is the right way to go, if you're at the fork in the road and to the right and to the left and you're stuck in the middle, not knowing which is the right way. Listen, if I were you, I would call out to him. He's the one who will give you wisdom. He's the one who will reveal to you the unsearchable things. He's the one that will reveal to you things you otherwise would have and could have never known. How about this? Romans chapter 10 and verse 12. The same Lord is Lord of all, and he richly blesses, you already know it, all who call on him. The concluding progression, let me leave you just with a few more verses. Listen, Psalm 17 and verse 6, here's the progression. I call on you, O God, for you will answer me. You call, he answers. Psalm 34, the progression. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. Listen, he saved him out of all his troubles. The progression. You call, he answers, and he saves you. One more. Psalm 50. Call to me when trouble comes. I will save you, and you will praise me. Find yourself in misery, longing though for victory. Faced with the impossible, desperately needing a miracle, in trouble, looking for triumph. Listen, if I were you, I would call out to God. He will hear and answer. He will save you, and you will praise Him. Father, we thank You this morning for the invitation to call out to You in our trouble, in our suffering. Lord, would You help us? May we hear. Lord, may my brother this morning, may my sister today, may all of us in this room hear that invitation, and may we respond rightly to it. Listen, You understand this morning. How can we hear what we've heard without taking a moment to call out to Him, right? Come on, just for a few minutes, call out to God. Your sickness, your health situation, that family difficulty, come on, whatever it is, you just call out to God on behalf of your friend, your child, your son, your daughter, on behalf of your neighbor, your boss, your colleague. Call out to God. Be an intercessor today. The attack of the enemy against you, that besetting sin. Listen, this is what you need to do. You need to call out to God. Ask God to give you the victory. Cry out to Him that you live life more than a conqueror. That the stealing and killing and destroying of the devil, it stops today in you, in Jesus' name. Come on, call out to God. You've got to call out to Him, my brother. You've got to call out to Him, my sister. What you're going through, what you're dealing with, that trouble. Think I have the answer? I don't. Think another in the room does. Think the world out there has it. I'm just telling you this morning, they don't. But I know one who does. And if I were you, I'd be calling out to Him. I'd be calling out to God who does the miraculous. I'd be calling out to God who does the wonderful, the unfathomable kind of thing. You've got to call out to Him for a minute. Come on, ask Him to help you. Ask Him to save you. I wonder, just full disclosure, is there a sinner in the room this morning? You're here, but you've not turned to Jesus. You're still living under the curse of Adam, not the new life of forgiveness and justification, reconciliation and righteousness that Jesus would give to you. If I were you, oh, hear me this morning. If I were you, I would call out to God right now. You know what it is for your life. You've got to call out to Him. You've got to call out to Jesus today. Ask Him to help. Ask Him to move in your life. Ask Him to change you, to change the things around you. Listen, if there's no way for you, listen, He's the God who makes a way where there is no way. If I were you, I would call out to Him. Let Him make a way for you today. We spoke of it a moment ago. Come on, you've got to cry out to Him that He heal you. Listen, ask Him to be your healer today. Call out to Him, my brother, my sister. Listen, He is the God that heals you this morning. Just for a moment, would you call out to Jesus? Just for a moment, would you hear, would you respond to the invitation of God's word this morning? Would you call out to Him? Would you ask of Him? And just before we finish this morning, would you take a minute? Would you call out to God on behalf of a nation out there that's in desperate need of Jesus? Come on. Would you call out to God for this community of Flushing? For every student there across the street in the high school, every student just down the road in the middle school, every elementary school in this community, would you call out to God on their behalf today? Would you call out that city that seems so distant and yet just a few miles up the road, so plagued by violence, so plagued by poverty and abuse? Would you call out? Would you pray for that city? Would you cry out to God for a nation, for a people in desperate need of His help? Listen, it's His help that we need. You understand that, right? It's not help from a man. It's not help that comes from an election going our way. It's not help that comes because the economy is better and there's more jobs. Listen, it's help that comes. It's help that only comes from the Lord. You would understand it this morning. Our nation needs Jesus. Listen, if I were you living in a nation like this one, so in desperate need for help, if I were you, I'd be calling out to Him for His help, for His salvation, for His deliverance. Come on, just for a moment, would you intercede? God, would you save? God, would you help? Would you bring revival here to Flushing? Would you bring revival to this country? Would you bring revival to Flint? Would you move mightily? Would you pour out your Spirit again on this nation? We're in trouble. We read enough, we see enough, we know enough to know this. We're in trouble, big trouble, deep trouble. And in our trouble, this is the best thing for us to do. We call out to God. Lord, we do it in and for our own lives. We do it as intercessors for those in our circle of relationship. We do it for a nation. We call out to You. We call out to You today. We hear the invitation and we respond rightly to it. We call out to You. And now, church, listen, because the progression, we know it. He's going to answer. He's going to save. So Jesus, just for a moment, we praise You. Come on, church, just begin to praise Him for a moment. That's the progression. That's what we do. We called this morning. Now He's going to hear and answer, and He's going to save. And so now we just cut to the chase. We praise Him. We lift our hands in this room. We lift our voices. We praise You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. Lord, You are my healer. Yes, You are. You are my deliverer. My victory is in You. I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm an overcomer. Abundant life has been granted to me. Help is on its way. Strength has come. Joy's been restored. Peace renewed. We praise You, Jesus. This is what we do. We praise You. We call. You heard and answered. You saved. And now we praise. We thank You, Jesus, for the invitation to call out to You. We thank You this morning for saving us, because we did. In Jesus' name. Now lift your hands and receive His blessing this morning. I declare it over you, the blessing of the Lord. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. In Jesus' name, amen.